following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Attention homeowners, if your home has lost value and you now owe more than your home is worth, please listen carefully to this very important message. If you purchased a home or refinanced your loan before June of 2009, Quicken Loans may now be able to help you refinance at today's incredibly low interest rates, even if you owe more than your home is worth. This is Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I want to let you know that on September 14th of this year, the government announced changes that may allow you to refinance even if your home has lost value. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, please call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. Even if you owe more than your home is worth, you may now be able to refinance at today's incredibly low rates. Again, if you've been unable to refinance because you owe more than your home is worth and your rate is above 3.99%, call 800-QUICKEN now and let us help you take advantage of this unique opportunity.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on today's program. You know, I didn't know what to expect when we left on Friday, but I'm sure there will be nobody bothering to worry about it today since Nebraska came away with the victory. Lonnie Kratzenstein in with me for the next hour. We're going to listen to Bo Pelini's press conference as they get ready for Michigan State. By the way, Michigan State put out a one-point favorite in that ball game. Maybe just a tad bit surprised, but nothing crazy. 3 points for the home field, so I guess talent to talent, Nebraska would be favored. But it's at 2:30 on ABC this Saturday, which I think makes pretty much every Husker fan happy. We love the 2:30 game. We'll talk about that. High school football playoffs, a disappointing end of the season for Kearney High on Friday night, and A and B move on, C and D continue on Wednesday. We'll take a look as volleyball begins tonight for sub-districts. Big win for Husker volleyball team yesterday. They knock off the number one team in the country. Really, when it looked like they could be headed for a downturn. They lost to Ohio State. They got blown out in the first set. They were behind in the second set, but electric atmosphere at the Coliseum yesterday. Lopers win their second consecutive football game. Broncos, they go the other way, and now they have to win the last two to have a chance to make the playoffs. All that, whole lot more. World Series is over. Some exciting Sunday football, and yes, I know, even the Dallas Cowboys cannot catch a break. I'm sure we need to get Dez Bryant the OJ gloves so that they wouldn't fit, so that the fingers would be shorter, so that they wouldn't touch out of bounds. Monty, hey, welcome back in. Great to see you again.
Nice to be here, and you covered a whole lot of information there in that last 30 seconds. Nice work.
So much happens on the weekend, and you hardly can even get to it all. So I just want to throw it out there for everybody. If you'd like to comment on any of it, you can Facebook us. You can email us to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And, of course, the phone number, 888-455-3776, 455-ESPN. But Nebraska football is always the topic of the day. Your initial thoughts on what we saw. Let me throw out what I'm kind of hearing, and it's not as bad as I thought it would be. Well, Denard Robinson went out. You know, the folks that always want to be on the other side of Big Red, whether they're in Nebraska or not. Well, Denard Robinson, they weren't doing anything with him in there, in that football game. And yes, I think if it's 16-9, the way the Huskers weren't really taking advantage of touchdowns versus field goals in a one-play game, yeah, maybe Denard makes a difference because the backup was horrid. And why does Taylor Martinez keep taking snaps? probably like that in Lincoln, too. But your initial thoughts on what you saw Saturday.
What do the kids say? Haters got to hate? Is that what it is?
Something like that, yeah.
And honestly, you aren't going to pacify some of those people that are looking to always look at the negative. But, you know, me, I look at the positive. And, you know, there's not a lot of people talking about, you know, remember 2 weeks ago we were talking about Bo Pelini's job. We were talking about Taylor Martinez and all that.
Last week in the third quarter. Last week in the third quarter, it was getting pretty heated. I know that.
What a difference, you know, some time makes. But I'm also amazed at the way people alternate between we're the greatest and plan your Rose Bowl trip versus let's fire the coach. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of in between. But, you know, that's why we're here, right, to add a little voice of reason. Is that right?
Well, you're more calming than I am. I know that for a fact, being the ex-Husker and watching what's going on down there in Lincoln. But I think they say this in the pro game all the time. It's not as bad as it was the week before, and it's not as good as it appeared the week before. But there is something to be said for the change in Nebraska's defense, particularly the linebackers, since the Ohio State game.
Well, and I think you have to look at style of what we're playing against. We have to look at maturity throughout the season. You know, some guys that didn't have a whole lot of experience early get thrown into situations, and bad situations for them. Listen, the bottom line is this. Sean Fisher, who had an amazing, amazing game, which kudos to him because he's been through a lot throughout his career. The way he plays is more conducive to this style of offense. It's more conducive to the Michigan States, the Penn States, what we're going to see. David Santos, you know, was a little bit of a tweener, but the Will Comptons, those linebackers who played so well on Saturday, you know, they were putting in some really bad situations when it comes to UCLA. So, you know, I think you have to look at the big picture. But, you know, you're right. There's some good coaching going on, some development, as much as people don't want to acknowledge it. When you see development in defense like this, there's some good things going on in practice on a day-to-day basis.
Let me ask you this, Monty. It's a question that's starting to trickle out there. You brought up Will Compton. We're not seeing and hearing as much from Will Compton. Was that part of the problem? As good of a guy as he is and as much as was expected from him, are we just seeing some different personnel? Is that one of the main differences, main reasons they're playing better?
When you have personnel that isn't the best in the conference, then sometimes it's better to give them some plays off, and that's kind of a negative term, say plays off, but, you know, fresh legs, those types of things. It's a good thing for Will Compton to come out of the game once in a while, to re-energize, to see things from the outside. That's not a bad thing. I don't think it's necessarily a punishment for him and the way he's been playing, but it does speak to the way those other guys are. I think those four, it's better for our team this year to play four linebackers divvying up the snaps as opposed to having two guys is going to be in there the whole time.
Monty Kratz is tied with me, Doug Duda, on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Keeping it pretty open, I was talking to Adam Rittenberg. He was at the game, the Big Ten blocker for ESPN. I debated about whether to have him on the show today because I thought maybe we'd have a little more Husker reaction. We got some other stuff to get to as well today before we hear from Bo Pelini. But I think, and Sean Callahan said it on his Big Red Report today, Nebraska has avenged all three of their conference losses from last year, beating Wisconsin, beating Northwestern, and now beating Michigan. And you play a couple of teams the next 2 weeks, even though they should be tough games with Michigan State and Penn State, that's supposed to be the style that even Nebraska fans realize that the Husker defense is shut down all the time under Bo Pelini.
How interesting is it that we've won all the games that we had lost last year to those opponents? And we beat Ohio State last year, and we got beat by them. So maybe that talks a little bit about the parity of the Big Ten and that there isn't any wide disparity between the top and the bottom or the middle or whatever. But I do think you have to look at the style of play. You have to look at what we do really well right now. And it did surprise me a little bit that Michigan State came out as a favorite. You mentioned the 3 points for the home field. But, you know, there's no doubt we have a better – we have more speed, we have more playmakers, we have a better kicker, but there isn't that much disparity between teams. And all of a sudden, we're the underdog, Doug. We're the underdog Saturday, and let's not forget that.
And we're the Big Ten favorite right now. Yeah. Now, let's throw it out there. I think right now, even if Nebraska runs the table like Coach Pelini wants them to, like he brought up in a moment of somewhat frustration after the Ohio State game, Ohio State did go out Saturday and prove that they are the best team in the Big Ten Conference right now. What they did with Penn State, kudos to them. David Santos has been named co-Big Ten Freshman of the Week by the conference. Brett Maher is once again the Special Teams Player of the Week for the Big Red. So there you go. And Kane Coulter, who they actually let play quarterback at Northwestern. And I don't know. Maybe that's going to end up being one of the biggest breaks Nebraska caught this year. It would be interested to talk to Pat Fitzgerald about why. Because when we had him on the show the week before the game, I specifically asked, what determines when Kane's back there? And you can give me the X's and O's and all that, but you would think playing Nebraska, a team that just got torched by Ohio State, that Kane Coulter would have been the quarterback, but a little more than taking more snaps than he was at wide receiver. And they really played him at quarterback this week as they knocked out Iowa. And I just keep thinking of all these schools out there, Monty, that Nebraska fans don't want to be. Colorado. I mean, that we've been competitive with here just a handful of years ago. Colorado's, Iowa's. I mean, Lee Barfneck says today Indiana could be in the Big Ten championship game. Insane.
That's crazy talk. I've said for years, this isn't your dad's college football system.
I mean,
it is way different, and it's hard for people to get a perspective on how much up and down there is in college football. I mean, all you have to do is look at teams like just what you mentioned, the Colorados, the Miamis, the teams that were at the very top when you and I were really interested in it 10 years ago, 20 years ago when we were involved in it. That's just the way it is. And, there's a lot of teams we don't want to be. As much as we would rather be up in that top 10, I mean, and I'd like to be that way too, and hopefully we're going to get to that point. Could be worse.
8 years ago, Alabama wasn't playing for no national title. Let's go to the Bruce Furniture fan line. Delusional Husker fan who came out of nowhere with an email last week. He's been pretty quiet. He's not quiet today. What's up, Delusional?
Hey, not too much. Just want to kind of get you guys' thoughts on a couple things. Like you said, my email Friday, I had us losing to Michigan. You know, our troubles with mobile quarterbacks is no secret. But even before Denard went out of the game, I thought we did a real good job of handling, everything he did or tried to do. So I'm not sure that he would have made a whole lot of difference. We'll never know. As soon as he went out, you know, it was our game. But my problem, and I want to get your thoughts, our inability to get touchdowns. We're at the 3-yard line, and why did he call 3 pass plays? You know, just bam, bam, bam. We got crossed, and you know, we got our fullbacks, overload the line. I don't know how we don't try to power the football in there. And well, then also another thing was after Martinez got his ankle twisted and he was kind of gimping around, why do you call quarterback draws after that? It's beyond me to do that. I don't know if, you know, maybe Beck's still just kind of learning how to call plays and stuff, but, you know, those kind of puzzled me. So I'll hang up and get you guys' thoughts on those.
Delusional, thanks so much. I will have to agree with Delusional on the Taylor Martinez thing. He got his ankle tweaked, and then they come back out in like the very next play. He does run quarterback draw, looks okay. And I guess what you say there, Monty, is if he's in there, he should be available to run the whole playbook. And on both occasions, I still think your coordinators are still pretty young, still learning, and I've harped on that a number of times. Second issue, why didn't they power it in? We discussed that in the press box when we were watching the game. They like to do that little dump pass to the fullback from 1, 2, 3 yards out. Well, you probably had the hands of stone in there as the fullback. I mean, you got 3 guys that you're putting in there, but you didn't also have Rex Burkhead. Right. You didn't have Rex Burkhead to pound it in there. And I mean, Amir's doing good, but you didn't have Rex Burkhead.
When they had the ball where they did, I was debating him. I always think about things from an offensive coordinator standpoint. What would you do? I always do that. This is nature. And I thought to myself twice, let's go heavy. Let's put cross in and let's pound it. They went quarterback run the first play. Okay. They went quarterback run and they thought they had him outnumbered on the one side. Schematically, it was an okay play. And sometimes it just doesn't work. The second time, yeah, that is one of their favorite plays. They put Morrow in, which Morrow is their best receiver with the hands down by the goal line. So you know how they're intermingling the fullbacks throughout? Yeah. They plugged Morrow in for that play. Well defended, not open. There you go. And then if you remember the last play, should have been a touchdown. Just bad luck. It went in the lights. I mean, that was a well-thrown ball
to Jamal Turner.
Jamal Turner in the lights, you know, one of those things. Now, hindsight says, listen, you chunk it at him three times and take your chances with Cross. That's one of the things where we really, really miss Rex Burkhead, because remember what we would have done probably if Rex Burkhead was in there, not only handing the ball, we probably would have lined him up at quarterback. We would have pitched the ball to Amir and led with him into the hole. I mean, that's a great play because you can outnumber the guys there. But that was taken away from us. But I really do think there's a lot of there's a lot of what he's saying that's true in hindsight. I know there was also some mentality of saying, I think we can get this because of outnumbering. I think we can get this because they're expecting this. Sometimes you outthink yourself a little bit too.
Well, and in this case, you know what? I'm going to chalk this up to on that series, it didn't work. The other two were longer field goals. You weren't trying to pound it in from inside the 5-yard line. Saturday, it just didn't work. It's not like Nebraska has had big troubles this year scoring in the red zone and pounding it in like just a handful of years ago. Even with Sean Watson and Bo here, that they had some trouble getting it in from inside the 5, and that's why they went to Rex kind of in the wildcat his freshman sophomore year, and why Ndamukong Suh carried the ball a couple of times and things like that.
One of the negatives about having an offense that's very diverse is you don't have anything you can really hang your hat on inside the red zone, especially inside the 10-yard line. You know, it used to be we would run option in the goal line. Well, because of the fumble issue and you don't want to turn the ball over, sometimes that isn't what we try to do. So I think there's some criticism of this offense. It is the fact that down deep, if we need 2 yards or 3 yards, kind of that area where, you know, the old days we used to go line up behind the fullback and just hammer it at you. That's something we don't do very well. But again, part of that is because we're pretty good at a lot of different things. I don't know that we're great at anything. And so as an offensive coordinator, you're always trying to tweak things, figure things out. I don't want to say trick people, but you're always trying to manipulate, where a lot of times if you're strong, you're powerful, and you hang your hat on that power running game, you know, you say, okay, we're going to hand the ball off to this guy three times, just stop us.
And Doug Dudamani Krantz has titled the Doug and Daddy Show today on this Monday show. When you're running read option, when you're running spread, where you're in the shotgun now more than ever, I've noticed that. Taylor, back in the earlier in the season last year, he was under center a little bit more than he is now. Just about every snap is coming from that. I would say that is the biggest drawback to that, is when you do get inside the 5-yard mm-hmm. line, you're still running that spread. And we see it at UNK. We see it with a couple of the high school teams we cover. It's great to get you down there, and it's great you can still score out of that. But obviously, more of those gaps are being filled by more defenders when you're getting closer to the goal.
Well, you lose your lead blocker.
Yeah.
You know, you lose your lead blocker, so then if you have a stunt, you have a slant, if you have somebody up front that misses their guy, you have somebody to cover up with a big old fullback coming in there. And that's where the, you know, Rex Burkhead at quarterback pitching the ball and then being the lead blocker, that's such an unusual thing, because it is just almost like running the wildcat, only you have your lead blocker go through there. But you know, that's the things you look at. And you know, the other thing this time of year, what offensive coordinators are trying to do is they're trying to break tendencies, because there's a whole lot of game film that they have, the defensive coaches have, on them. And so they're really talking tendencies, especially when it comes to formations and what plays they run. So, again, sometimes they kind of outsmart themselves, say, well, we've done this. Well, let's do something different. And when it doesn't work, it looks bad.
Yeah. We got to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, because we want to be ready for Bo Pelini's press conference coming up at the bottom of the hour. A couple of things, though. We told you the Big Ten Players of the Week. We told you the Michigan State game's at 2:30. The Penn State game is at 2:30. That's been announced this morning on ABC. November the 10th, home game against Penn State, 2:30 in Lincoln on ABC. We're back with more after this.
I'm Mark Schlereth, former Pro Bowl guard. If your knees have been worked on as much as mine have, you know parts wear out over time. The same is true with your car's shocks. That's why Monroe urges everyone to replace worn shocks at 50,000 miles. They affect comfort and your car's ability to stop. And now, with Monroe's fall promotion, you can purchase 4 qualifying Monroe or Rancho products between September 1st and October 31st and get up to the price of the lowest unit backed by mail-in rebate. Restrictions apply. Actual mileage may vary. Promotion details available at Monroe.com.
Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through.
Do your part by going to boostup.org and giving a student the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army.
Monday night, it's an NFC West showdown when the Arizona Cardinals take on the San Francisco 49ers. Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of Dial Global Radio Sports. Join Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts live from the Subway Fresh broadcast booth in Phoenix for all the action. Which team will take control of the tight division race in the NFC West? Tune in to find out. If it's the NFL, it's right here.
49ers Cardinals brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with a high around 64 with a south wind from 5 to 10. Tonight with variably cloudy skies, we'll head back to 34 with light winds through the night. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now it's 45.
Doug and Daddy Show with Monty Kratzenstein is my co-host on this Monday, talking Husker football, talking the Bo Pelini press conference, and we're talking about the comfort you have at Bruce Furniture, Kearney Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. You're sitting back, maybe watching that Husker game, watching Notre Dame, Oklahoma, watching the World Series, watching a full Sunday, and you were just relaxed. Or you were shifting left, shifting right, stand up, sit down, this bites. Well, don't do that all winter. Get something comfortable, folks. Bruce Furniture is there. Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. They take care of you, and they have since 1977. They can compete with anybody around and keep that small-town, hometown atmosphere. They want to meet you. If you've never been in, this is the time to do it. And, of course, if you've been in before, they're coming back time after time to take care of their home, their office, their apartment, wherever it is, their summer cottage, their winter home. It's all there. Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. I can't get over it. Pigskin Pick'em. Jared, I don't know this. I don't know what to think. This is like when you're playing your schedule, and you can even say it about Notre Dame. At the beginning of the year, all these teams look like studs, a bunch of them. Now, and not just because Notre Dame beat them, but two or three of them are not as showing their luster like we would have thought. And you can even say that about Nebraska. Hey, Nebraska fan, UCLA also came back into the rankings this week. So the two losses are to top 25 teams. But this pigskin pick'em, our caller Jared from Ansley, 6-6. You got to step up. If you're going to knock us off, if you're going to beat Jim Langan and myself, and on occasion Randy when he co-hosts on a Friday, you can't come with a sub-500 effort and expect to beat us, even though Jim Langan went 4-8. You can't expect to do that. We're a team. Jimmy's defense, not good. I brought the offense 8-4, once again destroying the competition. It's getting insane. 100. We've been beaten on opening day. We thought this would be a great idea. Every couple of weeks in, somebody gets $40-$60 in Cunningham's gift cards, Monty. Not now.
I don't know why you're surprised by this, Doug, with the incredible knowledge that you and Jim Langan have. Why are you surprised?
Well, you know, and I probably could have been better. You know, I wanted to take Georgia, but I thought I've already taken too many upsets. Cincinnati, wow, did they on Friday. I'm the only one that had them out of the three. Producer Jeff took them, but I'm just saying, I had Notre Dame straight up. I don't need the 12 points. I had Northwestern. I had Indiana to beat Illinois. Had that one. Had Washington to upset Oregon State. I don't know, people. I don't know what you want. 8-4 this Friday, somebody else gets a shot at ass in Pigskin Pick'em. $180 if you can beat us this week. Plus, you're already in for the 70-inch HD TV from Russell's, the Super Bowl party from Cunningham's, Big Daddy's Deli combo meals. It's starting to become a little bit insane. We may have to actually use some work around here. Trivia question is going to get tougher.
Listen, if it was easy, anybody could do it, right? So they're just going to have to, like you said, step up. They're going to have to do a little bit better.
This comes from our friends across Kearney, including Peter Yazvak, with the World Series ending last night. Mm-hmm. Sergio Romo, for the Giants. Mm-hmm. And Peter sends us this box score from 2005. He pitched at Mesa State.
Nice.
Complete game. They beat UNK that day.
Where's Damon when you need him? Let's make a phone call and have Damon give his analysis of Romo.
Yeah, 2005. Was he even here then? Probably. 2005, he went a complete game five-hitter in a 9-1 victory over UNK. Kyle Oldenkamp had a okay game that day, and Ryan Schneider came in relief. But Sergio Romo, that made him 10-0, so we knew he was pretty good at Mesa. But
that's good.
Taking care of business for the Giants. Last night. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. John says, does baseball season ever go away? Dang it, so glad that the World Series is over with. Now, trade here and there, what does that mean? If it is such a great sport, then why do they have to brag it up so much? Baseball sucks, football rules. Oh, it was an entertaining postseason. And yeah, you don't want to see it. It's the first sweep since 1990. 22 years since a sweep. And I sure wouldn't have seen that coming.
No, I didn't either. I want to see some drama in my World Series and my playoff stuff. And that's the disappointing thing about the World Series, even though I wasn't necessarily cheering for one team or the other. I wanted some drama. And yeah, of course, it went extra innings last night. But, you don't want to sweep. TV station, the TV doesn't want to sweep either.
Yeah, and so instead of game five tonight, we bring you Monday Night Football, San Francisco and Arizona. Pregame at 7, kickoff about 7:40 this evening. Your thoughts on Husker football? Doug Gutelmonte Kratzenstein with us. I always sit here, I take all these notes during the game, I'm watching the game. A couple of things out there at the time that I thought was a problem before Robinson went out. He sure did have a lot of time to throw the ball on Saturday night. Now, that means a couple of things. A, the secondary is doing a heck of a job where he gets rid of the ball a lot quicker. And obviously, you're concentrating on that. You want to flush him out of there. Maybe you want to let Denard pass because, you know, he was only 6 of 11 in the game and he still had all that time.
You know all those guys that sit next to you during game and yelling that we need to blitz every play? You know, they love to blitz. One of the problems with a mobile quarterback, especially Denard Robinson, is you bring the heat and he escapes your man-to-man coverage in the secondary and he runs forever. And so you could tell that although we mixed it a little bit, but our plan was not to blitz him. Our plan was to cover and force him to make a mistake. You know, it drove some people crazy. There was that one play, I think he danced back there for about 15 seconds and then scrambled for about a 5-yard first down, and I could hear all the people screaming about the scheme. But you know, you have to pick your poison with a guy like that, and he's proven that he will make mistakes if you just don't let him just take off running.
And their style, even though it looks he's not just a pro type, it's not a pro offense back there, but it is pretty different than what Ohio State and Braxton Miller does.
You know, when you talk about mobile quarterbacks, everybody likes to say, Nebraska has had trouble with mobile quarterbacks. I don't think you can paint that with a broad brush because the offenses are so different. Kane Coulter at Northwestern and Ohio State, Braxton Miller and Denard Robinson, all three of those are very, very different offenses. So your scheme and your responsibilities are way different, and each of them do some good things, but they're very different.
Doug Gutelmonte Kratzenstein with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Brett Maher takes care of business. Nebraska still turned it over a couple of times. I mean, in the hindsight, if Nebraska plays perfect football, they win big in this game. Yeah. They don't play perfect football, and they still win by 2 touchdowns.
My blanket statement is most important thing every week for this team is turnovers. Do we get some, or do we give some away? The kid made a great play on the interception. I don't blame Martinez for that. He was scrambling. He was kind of going to his left, and he threw it, and that kid leaped about 30 inches up in the air and vertical jump and tipped it and grabbed it. And that was a good play. You know, the fumble is a weird sort of thing where he kind of got bent over backwards, and I think he was afraid of getting hurt. Yeah. Some people thought his knee was down. I don't think it was, but it's one of those things where I think when your natural inclination is you're going to get hurt, you lose security of the ball a little bit. So, you know, I think we can get by with those type of turnovers. The good thing about that is, it cost us 3 points. What's different about Nebraska this season was when we turned the ball over in previous games, it cost us points, sometimes immediate points. You know, we don't have to have no turnovers, but those turnovers can't lead to immediate points. That's the difference in our offense.
A couple other things. I know we would have been talking about this had Michigan won the ball game. Mm-hmm. 8 penalties for 104 yards, and Nebraska was not penalized over the last quarter and, say, 3 minutes. There was the back-to-back penalties when Bo got flagged, or the bench, and the penalty that there was some bad calls in that football game, and not just against Nebraska, but it's easier to see when you're watching on TV, but these guys are going to get reviewed, and they have to know that they missed more than one call, which is unacceptable.
I understand that a point of emphasis is protection of the players. But this whole targeting sort of thing, that there's a big difference between dropping your head and going after a guy that is defenseless compared to a ball carrier that all of a sudden dives down or changes his angle and you make contact with his head. And those are the ones that drive me crazy. It seemed like the back judge kind of went on a little bit of a stretch there where he wanted to take over the show. And would you love to know what exactly was said? We'd have to go R-rated, but what was said to get that 15-yard flag? Because that's pretty rare.
Well, he's right, but he's from me to you. But, I mean, that's, again, another thing. The bow was right there. I mean, he's witnessing the same thing that the official is witnessing, all obviously through different colored lenses.
Well, it wasn't just with Nebraska. You know, that I think Taylor Martinez got bumped out of bounds a little bit, and you know, he didn't even go down and
make that call.
And I thought that's exactly. And so all the people that are complaining about Bo getting on the bad side of officials, maybe that was a makeup call on the other side. I don't know, but yeah, there was a lot of 15-yard penalties. There weren't as many. I don't know how to say it other than stupid penalties that Nebraska did that, you know, shot themselves in the foot. There were about three aggressive type penalties that we got called that hurt us, certainly hurt us, but you know, I'm not as concerned about that. I'd rather have us do that than letting them see them walk down the field.
Your thoughts, 888-455-ESPN. Love to have your emails, because we'll be going to Lincoln here momentarily for Coach Bo Pelini's press conference. Email the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. We're back after this.
Hi, it's the Herd. Meetings are essential to the way we work. It's an opportunity for different voices to be heard, share ideas, problem solve, develop creative solutions. I love that. But if your team's spread out in different locations around America, coming together can be tough, almost impossible. Unless you use, and I have, GoToMeeting with HD Faces. The powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with clients and coworkers online. Doesn't matter where everybody's located. You're in Albany, I'm in San Diego. She's in Dallas. GoToMeeting allows you to share the same screen, making it easier to be on the same page. Built-in HD video conferencing. You can see everybody face-to-face. Try GoToMeeting free now for 45 days. Don't wait. Special offer only on this show. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code ESPN. Be sure to use the promo code ESPN.
And it looks like Bo Pelini now ready to head to the microphone in Lincoln for his weekly press conference. Looking back at Michigan, previewing Michigan State. Well, I guess not. Taylor Martinez is coming up there. So everybody was quieting for Taylor. So we'll continue our break. Be back with more after this.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with a high around 64 with a south wind from 5 to 10. Tonight, with variably cloudy skies, we'll head back to 34 with light winds through the night. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 45.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Dudamani Kratz is dying with you here on today's program. We'll head to Lincoln for Bo Pelini's press conference. Another thing that we've talked most of the show so far about the game. It was interesting. There was a every once in a while the tidbit has to be thrown out. You know, the black shirt question is not supposed to be brought up, and I thought it was unusual that I even thought it was good timing. I like it. I get no problem. But nobody was thinking about that, at least our press crew. And a tidbit was kind of thrown out to one of the guys, Sean Callahan, to say, hey, you might want to throw that out in the press conference tonight. So that's one of those that's kind of inside information so that you can get this. But the black shirts were out. The story was that they were going to give them to him after the Northwestern game. One of the team captains talked to the other guy, said, hey, we don't deserve these guys. I mean, it was one game. It was 2 weeks ago that we got blitzed. Let's wait. They got him yesterday. That wasn't always the case, obviously. The black shirts were in the lockers to start the season or to start the regular season fall ball. Now, under Bo, he waits till they somewhat deserve them in his mind, and they deserve them after these 2 weeks more than they have at any other point in the season.
If you want to get into some heated arguments, talk to some of those former black shirts and former players about that black shirt tradition. Again, things change. It used to be done a certain way. I don't want to be, and I'm not one of those guys, say, well, this is the way it used to be. It needs to continue to do that. But there's a lot of argument about that. There isn't a right or wrong way to do it. The game has changed. There's not 11 starters like there were. I mean, there could be 18 different guys that start during the season based on the personnel packages that a team shows. So what are you going to do? Do it to the 11 guys that started the last game? Or are you going to give it to the 18 guys that have started throughout the year? There isn't an easy way to do it. But one of the things I do like is the fact that there was some hesitation. There's a standard that has to be met. There was a hesitation of accepting those black shirts by that team. And if that's truly what happened, I kind of like that because sometimes, again, Bo Pelini's teams sometimes have not handled prosperity very well. Maybe we'll see this week. That was a big win on Saturday. Maybe we'll see this week. How can we handle prosperity? Because, some people think that we are the favorites to win the Big Ten right now.
And, Monty, I think this is still the concern, and I think it'll be written and talked about most of the week. The stretch ain't over. I mean, the next two are monster games just like these two are. I mean, you can still go 2-2. That was the talk about going 2-2 in this stretch, and they can still do that. They've got to be careful because even if you go to Michigan State and win, which I think they will do, Penn State, they've got nothing better to do than beat Nebraska and Lincoln in 2 weeks.
Right, and that's the nature of this conference and the nature of us. We are not so good that we can ignore anybody. We can get upset or we can lose. And so that's the focus, and that's the part of why it's so important to have that process in place.
Lose? We can't lose. Who are you? We'll never lose.
The voice of reason. I'm the voice of reason, Douglas.
Run the table. It's still somewhat comical to me. And if they're in the Big Ten championship game, you can't realistically say they're bad. But the worst team Nebraska plays in the conference could be in the Big Ten championship game at the end of the year. Let's just hope Nebraska gets there. Taylor Martinez done in Lincoln. Bo Pelini will begin chatting momentarily. Again, Nebraska's next two games, 2:30 games, Michigan State, Penn State.
What's Cliff Notes on Taylor Martinez's press conference? Was there a lot of insight there?
As quiet as always. I used to think it was because he was nervous and young. Now I think it is scripted, and there's a lot of people in that room he doesn't like. Well, I believe that. I Taylor's not dumb. All right, Taylor's not dumb. He may not be a 4.0 student, but he's not dumb.
Everybody has strengths and weaknesses. Him behind the microphone is a weakness. Him with his hands in the ball lately has been a strength.
It's not a weakness when you have lunch or stop by anytime at the Chicken Coop in Grand Island or Kearney. Lunch specials every single day on Monday. Stop by and enjoy a steak sandwich with any side item for only $6.99. Of course, Monday Night Football, bowl fries and fries, only $5.99 in Kearney every Monday night. Happy hour from 2 to 5:30. You can watch college. You can watch NFL. Basketball starts tomorrow. What? You can't believe that. That's why we're not talking about it today. Too much other good stuff to talk about. The Chicken Coop, they can also put their party room together for you, whether it's for a party or a special meeting at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island, whether it's today or Sunday or Thursday. They're open 7 days a week. Why? Because you're hungry and you're thirsty. 7 days a week. Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. Not sure how much longer before Bo steps up there, but I want to say this. What Luke McNitt, he's the guy that was the face of Kearney High. The scene after that game on Friday, you had kids that didn't want to leave the field, and special teams had carried that team and won so many games for them, and just a couple of unfortunate plays on Friday. I hope that doesn't overshadow the great season Kearney High had.
I think, yeah, you have to look at the big picture. They had a great season. When you look at the beginning of the season, and you and I have talked about it, you know, they could have, they could have been 5-4, 6-3, 7-2. They developed. They became a very good football team.
All right, let's go to Lincoln. Here's Bo with the gray sweatshirt. And Bo Pelini's weekly press conference going pretty long. Doug Dudamani Kranzenstein with us here. And one of the reasons it went long, they got done talking about Nebraska football, and they went on to the tempo issue, which took about 10 minutes there. And all Nebraska fans that are watching the games, that are students of the game, or just a fan, you know when Nebraska or any team saying, hey, whoa, you got to give us time to match up the tempo, getting guys out there running no huddle. You can call it whatever you want now. It's no longer necessarily called no huddle or some of the terms that we've used in the past. But that was a majority of the end of the press conference. Big, long press conference. Monty, what stood out to you about any of it?
It's interesting. You can always tell what he's really comfortable talking about and what he just doesn't, you know, what it's the standard. I don't want to talk about this. And so it's he's pretty engaging when he wants to be. He's pretty engaging when it's, you know, when you get talking about the tempo of offenses and how as a defensive coach you have to deal with that and what's important to him, what's not important. He likes talking about that sort of thing because, you know, he would be much better at this sort of thing if he was sitting at a table over lunch or a soda or whatever it is, talking about that. And that's what he's good at. But again, he's not comfortable with that classic question of tell us about the injuries. He doesn't want to talk about injuries. And out of respect for the family and the kid, he doesn't want to talk about injuries. He doesn't want to give you any information on the game plan for this week. He doesn't want to talk about what they're going to do. And he certainly doesn't want to talk about the future, about, oh, are you a Big Ten leader now? And although he doesn't want to talk about that. So if you're barking up that tree, you're going the wrong direction. But if you want to talk about some of the X's and O's philosophically, as soon as you started talking about his former players, yeah. Notice that his whole body language and his tone of his voice changed because he likes talking about former players. He likes talking about the generic tempo of the college game.
Exactly.
You know, if you would ask him, you know, how are you going to adjust to, and they don't play this way, but how are you going to adjust to the tempo of Michigan State this week? You're not going to get an answer.
Yeah. And I think Dirk was trying to pin him down on what specific. We heard specific. I know it's execution. I know it's. But are you seeing a specific thing? And he can't tell you that. Well, David Santos is playing better than Will Compton, and now we are playing. But he can't say that.
Nope.
And even if that's true or not, just an example. We've talked about Will before the press conference and any of those other guys. That they almost asked the question about. You said 2 weeks ago or after the Ohio State game and even last week on special teams, you were going to have to make some personnel changes. You're playing better. Obviously, some of those personnel changes are working, and one of those has to be David Santos.
He's never going to throw any of his players under the bus.
No.
He's never going to mention a player specifically in a negative light. And coincidentally or not so coincidentally, he's also not going to rave about a player to the press either. I mean, that's just the way he is, and that's one of the reasons why his players like him so much.
It's an extended Monday because of good things, I would have to say, not because we have to worry about Nebraska coming off a loss. I got all these papers here. Let's do a little TNL Husker recruiting update, and this is probably on the wrong side of things, but you just don't know if a kid don't want to be here. TNL Husker recruiting brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems. Choosing the right recruit for Nebraska can be a difficult decision, but choosing your pivot system, well, with TNL, the choice is simple. TNL system providing a safe, hassle-free, and reliable hydrostatically powered pivot for continuous movement and even water distribution. You know, until the kid actually tells one of these recruiting services like Rivals, like Scout, that, okay, I'm not going to fill in the blank. In this case, it looks like Christian LaCourcher is not going to go to Nebraska. This is the kid that lived at Texas A&M Corpus Christi, became an oral commit, then decided, you know what, I'm just going to come up. My mom's got a job off at Air Force Base, if I've got that right. She's able to get up there. So I'm going to go up. I'm going to play with my new friend, Josh Banderas at Lincoln Southwest, and I'm just going to be there, which is a heck of a commitment. Well, it looks like it may have backfired because Josh Banderas said that he looks like it's a mutual split. And this is from Husker Online. Steve Sippel first reported this from the Lincoln Journal Star, and that's why we have Steve Sippel and Sean Callahan at our Husker lunches every Wednesday, like we will again this week at Cunningham's. But again, I mean, if the kid already doesn't want to be there, don't be. I mean, there's nothing binding, so now he's got to find somewhere else to go and move again.
Well, that's, again, one of the problems of the nature of the recruiting business and early commits and soft commits and people wavering. Notice this is a big recruiting weekend for Nebraska. A lot of visitors on the sideline on Saturday. There was about three or four of those guys that were already, quote, committed to other schools that were looking around that we were trying to impress. I just get tired of the word commit and soft commit and all those sorts of things because how much does it really mean? How would you like your livelihood to depend on the wavering of an 17, 18-year-old kid, or more importantly, the wavering of their parents?
Well, and Monty, the whole thing about the commit was so that you would quit getting bothered.
Right.
Well, obviously that's not the case anymore. Well, just come on. I mean, we're paying for everything. You still got two official visits left. Come on over to Lincoln, watch a game. That's all. And then, of course, you try to obviously give him the sales pitch. Here's what Sean Callahan said on his report on Husker Online. He goes, my read on it is Nebraska probably needs LaCourcher to play at play inside at defensive tackle, but he wants to play at defensive end. I guess I'll let you comment on why that would be a big deal.
Maybe perception. Maybe perception of the fact that those inside guys are big, fat, slow guys. I mean, maybe it's maybe that's a tough sell to a kid that has been a tight end that is going to have to grow into a defensive tackle sort of a body. But that goes back to need. I don't know how big of a deal it is. Football is football, but again, there's a lot of egos involved. There's a lot of perceptions involved, and I don't really like that idea. I think. That communication, that problem, probably is more than what it looks like. In other words, and I'm not saying this is the case, but maybe that kid isn't quite the team type of a player that we thought he was. Maybe he isn't quite as good. Maybe it isn't, maybe he doesn't like the coaches as much as he thought he did. There's a lot of different factors in there. I don't know.
Maybe moving to Lincoln will work out actually for both of them. And again, this is Sean Callahan's opinion. He goes, I think that might have something to do with his decision, but this deal ranks right up there with the Josh Freeman decommitment as one of the more bizarre ones I've ever seen. Kid and his family moved to Lincoln, then decommit a few weeks before he starts school at Nebraska in January. Doesn't add up. And
I totally agree with that because, again, once you get the family and moving and all that sort of stuff involved, that's a mess. That's a tough deal.
Find out how easy the choice is with T&L Irrigation Systems, bringing you the T&L Husker Recruiting Report. T&L Irrigation Systems has proven technology that works. We'll be back to wrap things up after this.
It's Taste Over at Subway, and we're celebrating with the new Tuscan Chicken Melt, the newest $6 footlong special. Enjoy a harvest of flavor with tender, juicy chicken tossed in zesty herb seasoning, then fresh toasted with melty cheese on your choice of bread. It's topped with balsamic vinaigrette and served up as a $6 footlong special. Savor the season with the new Tuscan Chicken Melt before it's gone. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants, plus applicable tax. Price and participation may vary. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Additional charge for extras.
It's time to get winter ready. Dick's Sporting Goods has more of the best brands to keep you warm as the weather gets colder. The North Face, Columbia, Spyder, Burton, Kopin, Marmot, Mountain Hardware, and more. Dick's has the widest selection in styles and colors in men's, women's, and youth jackets and accessories. And don't forget to grab a new snowboard. Dick's carries the snow equipment you need. Before hitting the slopes, stop into Dick's Sporting Goods today. Every season starts at Dick's.
Are you looking for affordable, high-speed internet? Then Arcom has the service you're looking for. Whether you're in town or rural, Arcom can offer you high-speed internet for only $25 a month. That's right, just $25 a month. Get all your online needs met before the Christmas rush. Don't wait. Call today, 308-237-7266. That's Arcom for just $25 a month. Call today and get free installation. Arcom, 308-237-7266. Call now.
When it comes to Husker game day, my buddies and I head down to Cunningham's Journal, the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Have a great bite to eat, drink the coldest draft beer in town, and most importantly, watch the Husker game on the huge 10-foot projector screen. This year, every time you come for the game, you can register to win a 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance and a Coors Light Super Bowl party from Cunningham's. If you win, could I come? Anyways, escape ordinary and head to Cunningham's Journal on game day, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Doug and Daddy's show. Monty Kratz is side with me on this extended Monday program. Tomorrow, Daryl Morris, Tony Harper. Also, Bill Friedman rejoins us from the Big Ten Network. They're going to be doing a piece tomorrow out of the Big Ten Network on the 94 Husker team. If you're a Big Ten Network follower, you can go to BDN.com, find out more about that. But we'll be talking about that and some of the things that you'll see. Our poll question over the weekend, what would be the better format for the high school playoffs in classes C and D? I am strongly on one side of this, and some of the folks like Stu Pospisil that are friends and friends of the program are strongly on the other side, and we'll argue about this for a long time at different times, and we always end up we can't come to a common ground
agree,
on what's going
to
make
agree it. Agree to disagree, that's what I like to say.
That's what we got to do, and there's strong opinions, I'll say on this. And eventually, you just got to go, well, that's what I think, that's what you think. But 64% of you would prefer a 9-game regular season with the 16-team playoff. 36% said an 8-game regular season with a 32-team playoff, and that's my vote. Now, I can understand this as we start to see we don't have 68 or 70 Class C1 schools and C2 schools. We're down in the low to mid-50s, and I can understand where at some point we have to adjust this. And you can't go 24 and give a team a bye because the whole point is to play football. That's what we want. So that's one to debate. There, what do you think? I mean, you're a Class A guy, so you don't have to worry about it. You got 9 games no matter what. But one of my points outside of the NCAA's making money a game earlier and all of that, and they're making the decisions, yada yada yada, is that most teams are still getting their 9th game, and the ones that aren't are 0-8 and 1-7. And maybe they still need the practice, but at that point, you pretty much lose interest.
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree with you. A lot of those teams that are at that point, either because decimated because of injuries or all those other factors, there's the haves and the have-nots. So, I can't believe I'm saying this. I agree with you.
I mean, and Jeff, when you guys were 0-8 at O'Neill, you didn't want to play anymore, did you?
Oh, that was only my freshman year, but yes. Oh. My senior year, we were 3-5, and we were like the 33rd team. And it would have been, nice to see, we're on the bubble. If there were 16 teams, we would have had no chance, And
you'd have had no chance 3 weeks before the last game.
Exactly. Yeah, and stuff like that. It really, puts a lot more energy into that last game, It rallies the city, around the team, too.
That's a new point. I got to remember that.
Oh, good.
You stay in the race longer. You have that as a motivational tool for your team.
Speaking of in Class B, didn't 16 beat 1 last week?
Congratulations to the Snod, Glenn Snodgrass. And again, the unfortunate thing is it was cool that Scott's Bluff had a chance to get to Lincoln and play in a state championship game, and it's a disaster. As much as we hated to see Kearney High get beat and then to take the York side, it's the same thing on both sides. I'm guessing if Scott's Bluff and York played 10 times, it's a 9-1 deal, 8-2. But congratulations to go to Scott's Bluff and get that win. I mean, York, they were horrible. I'm sorry.
I don't.
They know it. Everybody knows
well,
it. It's not bad to say. I feel sorry for the kids that had to be a part of that, for the coaches that had to be a part of that. There are schools around like that. Here's what I say. School out there right now that hasn't won in 2 or 3 years. It's possible.
Sure.
It's possible.
I had asked somebody and I couldn't get an answer. I should have asked smart guys like yourselves, but how many big upsets are there since that 16-team format has come about? And then lo and behold, we have a 16 beating a 1. But how many of that is there?
Stu put in his article that was the first 16 over a 1, which shouldn't happen.
Right.
And especially in the smaller classes, I think there's way more of a gap than right. There would be an A and B between a 16 and a 1. But he said it was in the 83. Trumbull got beat by Philly, who was a 3-5 team or something like that. There's always upsets.
Because one of my problems with having that sort of format with that many teams in and the one playing a down-the-line team is just that. How interesting is that game? typically they're always blowouts, more chance of guys getting hurt, blah, blah, blah. But as we saw, it can happen.
Well, again, and one I can hang my hat on here with this argument for the next few years is that Howells Dodge beat West Point Guardian Angels. They were 1-2 in the state when they played. West Point Guardian Angels, that's their only loss. Mm-hmm. And you never – the state set your schedule, so you can't strengthen it yourself. They would have missed the playoffs this year. A perennial power, state championship, state finals team would have missed a 16-team playoff at 7-1 with their only loss to the number one team in the state. In fact, the number one, I mean, the dynasty, their only loss. Doesn't matter what the score was. It's like 36-0, but they were 1-2, and they would have not made the playoffs.
You can use that argument for a long time, and I'll back you on that one because that would be a shame.
Thanks, buddy. Let's go to our poll question for today. There are 13 NFL teams that are either 3-4 or 4-3. What do you make of this? Parity, it's good for the league. Mediocrity, it's bad for the league. I think everybody just wants to take the New York Giants' success from the last 5 years. You have to stink at midseason. You have to just kind of be mediocre at midseason. I say it's parity. I'm going to go with parity. It's also mediocre, but it's parity because you know what? Dallas is 3-4, right?
Mm-hmm. What they want to do is what the league wants to do is keep everybody as interested as long as they can, right? And so as long as you're into week 10, week 12, and the more people are thinking about playoffs, you know, it's a market, right? Millions of people are still excited. If your team has one or two losses, then all of a sudden you aren't excited anymore. Commissioner wants parity.
Let's go to the Bruce Furniture fan line. Someone wants to address our high school playoff issue. Good afternoon. What's up?
Hey, Doug. Back in 2001, they went to a 16-team playoff, and it was Cambridge that lost to North Platte St. Pat's early in the year in a district game 10-7, and they didn't have enough power points to make the 16-team playoff, and they went 7-1 that year. Hmm. And there were teams that got in at 3-5, I believe.
Yeah, and
so I guess that would be my argument to a 16-team playoff. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Thanks for the call. I mean, and back when that happened, and as you know, Monty, as time moves on, I forget a few of the details, but the Hastings people can confirm. It was Adams Central, St. Cecilia playing each other, and I believe it was St. Cecilia went on and won the state title. Adams Central went for two, lost 21-20 in a regular season game, missed the playoffs at 8-1. Mm-hmm. And the team they lost to by one won the title. It was one way or the other, and I think St. Cecilia won that year.
Well, in the perfect world, no matter if you have eight teams or 16 teams, you want those best eight teams or those best 16 teams in. That's in the perfect world. Unfortunately, because of geography and scheduling, those sorts of things, it doesn't always happen. But in the perfect world, yeah, that's too bad. And I guarantee those kids down in Cambridge remember that, obviously, for a long, long time. That is, again, that's too bad.
Don't forget to vote on our poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're going to get Monty's final comment of the day right after we run through all the sports that we haven't talked about today. Just coming out, the Associated Press preseason All-American men's basketball team. Creighton's Doug McDermott is on that team, averaging 23 points and 8 rebounds from last year. Indiana sophomore Cody Zeller and McDermott were the leading vote-getters on that team. Also on the team, junior forward Deshaun Thomas of Ohio State, Isaiah Cannon from Murray State, and then you got Trey Burke of Michigan and C.J. McCollum of Lehigh. What?
Lehigh.
Is
he a wrestler? Is
what?
Is Lehigh a good wrestling program?
What?
I don't know.
Nebraska men's basketball hasn't won a share of the conference championship since when?
Forever.
1950. That's forever, and it isn't going to happen in the near future. God bless Tim Miles. Tonight, I don't even know, Monty, because I haven't asked you this. I'm going to try and watch some of this tonight. And that's why it's okay with me with the World Series over. The World Series isn't over. I don't think if you know, do you know this? The World Series is not over.
Educate me. Tell me
why. It just begins tonight. The final table at the World Series of Poker goes live tonight in Vegas. Now, I love it.
Now you're catering to some of your listening audience.
I think a whole bunch of it. There's a 21-year-old in there. There's some pros. Your interest level of that is... zero, less
not,
than
no,
zero?
Not less than zero, probably 1.3%.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We told fans, in case you missed at the beginning of the show, Nebraska's next two football games, Michigan State, Penn State, both 2:30 on ESPN. We talked briefly about Hastings, the volleyball team. They win 16-14 in the fifth set to stay undefeated in the conference. The soccer teams both win the regular season. They're at home, women tomorrow, men on Thursday. Both play Dakota Wesleyan as a 1-8 seed. The UNK women fell to Fort Hays on Friday, 5-1, and that ended their season. Still the best season in school history, but they missed the conference tournament. Tri-City Storm went 1-1 over the weekend. They're home tomorrow night against Lincoln. The Nebraska women's basketball team will host Pittsburgh State in an exhibition game tonight at the Devaney Center at 7:05. Sub-district volleyball begins tonight. I'll mention just a couple of these. Hastings St. Cecilia, the top seed in the C29 in Minden. They'll play the winner of the Superior Franklin matchup, while Blue Hill will play Southern Valley. Over at GICC, Ravenna plays Donovan Trumbull. The winner gets the top seed. Wood River, Centura, and Loup City are also in that. Again, you're just seeing the size of the schools. You never had a four-team district or sub-district. There's some tomorrow. We'll be covering the Kearney Catholic Gibbon Minden St. Paul matchup tomorrow night over at Wood River. Monty, lots went on today. Final thought on any of this?
It's weird how things go through my mind. When you're talking about Pittsburgh State, there's certain nicknames in colleges that are derogatory toward the female athlete. Are they the female gorillas? That's just not right. If you're going there as a female athlete, they have a good program, that's wrong.
The lady gorillas.
Yeah.
The lady gorillas. That's true. That's true.
That's another day. We'll talk about that another day.
I do love the schools that can differentiate, like the Minute Men and the Minute Maids. I love that. You know, what's a Lady Whippet? Yeah, we don't want to go there. You know, we got Chanticleers. You're a lady chant. That's cool, but it's just not the
is
same
that a
thing.
Hen?
You know, well, we would never say that. I'll guarantee you that. But it's cool when you can have that double nickname. Axtell went with the Wild Kittens there for a while. They still kind of bring that up. You know, it is what it is.
Sorry I digressed.
Oh, we want to thank Monty. Thanks for coming in today. Michigan State, early Monday pick.
It's a pick'em game right now. Get through practice, see who gets better this week.
I love it. That's just like Coach Popolini, who joined us today as well. Tomorrow, Daryl Morris, Tony Harper, UNK Hastings College Football, Bill Friedman. He is the producer for the Big Ten Network to talk about the 94 team. Husker lunch Wednesday at Cunningham's. Tomorrow, we will have Damon Day in as the co-host to gloat about Notre Dame's victory over Oklahoma, which we didn't gloat enough about, except that I picked it right. I'm okay, but boy. It's still K-State number K-State playing in the national title game.
He will gloat enough for everybody. Don't worry.
We'll save it for tomorrow. Thanks for hanging with us today, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.